Well, let's look at this message here. I'm just saying lollygagging with Jesus. And this came up because I saw a t-shirt that said, I hate it when people accuse me of dilly-dallying when it's obvious I'm lollygagging. And so I thought that was kind of a fun thing. And so I used it in I had to find a way to use it in a message. So my notes are, for Christians looking for a way to live their Jesus life, Scripture encourages childlikeness, being well-rested and well-adjusted, thinking of others, valuing and accepting them, mimicking good examples, steering clear of religious hang-ups, pompous, rigid legalism, and theatrical praying. It apparently includes eating and drinking and spending time with friends. Sounds doable and easy. It almost sounds enjoyable.
Yes.
So these are things that Jesus taught, modeled, spoke about. And at the end of that it sounds almost enjoyable. I almost wanted to add, so where did we go wrong? What have we done to what Jesus said? And so I want to just maybe before we go any further, look at the quote on the bottom of the page here from David Benner's book that I keep citing, The Gift of Being Yourself. Productivity and efficiency miss the point. What God wants is simply our presence, even if it feels like a waste of potentially productive time. That's what friends do together. They waste time with each other. Simply being together is enough without expecting to get something from the interaction. It should be no different with God. So, wasting time with God and this friendship that he invites us into, not the CEO issuing orders like in the Dilbert comics, but it says, I now consider you guys friends. I've told you everything. I've told you everything the Father's told me. You get in on this. This is a friendship that I'm inviting into. It's not, I don't call you servants. I call you friends, which heightened, of course, the scandal with the Jews. They just couldn't understand how Jesus could do such a thing if he were actually God. And so I want us to look at this passage out of Matthew 6. And I'll use the Message version this morning. But Jesus invites us into an easygoing friendship. And unfortunately, church throughout the centuries, Jesus' own church, has morphed into all kinds of legalism and formalities and all this other stuff. And so much of the trappings, the external stuff, is not what Jesus has invited us into. And you know, I remember my mother finally being liberated from wearing hats to church. When I was little, of course, it was forced, it was de rigueur for a woman to wear a hat to church, which my mother despised her whole life. And so when it finally became out of fashion, so I don't know whether there's an edict from God that said, you ladies, you're fine now, you don't need to wear a hat to church, or whether someone just woke up and realized that it wasn't necessary. But we put all kinds of crazy things on. Men used to have to wear three-piece suits and ties.
Right.
You know, I mean, I bet you every guy in this room is grateful that someone's woken up and realized that's not necessary to be presentable to God. And so I have a closet full of ties I look at every once in a while, but it makes me smile not to wear them.
The point of what you're saying, a three-piece suit and tie and singing just as I am.
Well, yes, that was of course necessary, all 12 verses. And so what Jesus invites us into is so much not what many of us have perceived as Christian living. And so in Matthew 6, in the Message, Jesus is speaking. And let me just read these verses, Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15, in the Message, obviously. He says, when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place, so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and then you'll begin to sense His grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting you what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply, like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes.
Wow. That's great.
It's amazing what Jesus invited these simple guys from nowhere in particular, but he chose them to come alongside as an entire example of what he's going to do with millions and millions of people he draws to himself in the next 2,000 years and beyond. And so all of what Jesus did is choosing of the disciples, these fishermen, these uneducated guys, people who work for the enemy, like the tax collector, and we would still probably look at him that way today. But Jesus chose all these people, and he taught them a relationship with him that we need to hold on to. So there are 5 points that as we look through these verses here today. So the first one is no showboating or grandstanding necessary. And I'd say even wanted. You know, I think, you know, there's a part in Scripture where God says, I don't remember what Janice says. I don't remember the address. That's what Janice says. But, you know, God says, do you think I really enjoy the blood of goats and all these sacrifices? You think that's really what I want? And, you know, he says, like, I'm really after your hearts, not all this other stuff. But I want to do this to remind you that that's where I'm heading you, not someplace else. So we get to come, as we've done this morning, with multiples of us here, praying without showboating or grandstanding, without using big fancy flowery language or putting on an accent that sounds weird. You know, we just come before him because he's our Father. The very first thing he says in his prayer, and I was reminded of this reading this morning, you know, it starts off, our Father.
Yeah.
Just our Father. What a wonderful thing to say as we begin. I mean, and it would be, we could easily translate it as dad or daddy.
Yeah. You know,
our Abba. We come to him, and I heard somebody was just saying, maybe Keith was mentioning this last week, I don't remember who said this, but somebody was in Israel, and he heard a child running after his father, and he was calling out, Abba, Abba, and it just reminded him, oh yeah, there's the word, that's what they use. And so we come our Father. He's the one who loves us, who delights to see us come with our requests and our needs and our joys and our sorrows and all of that. So no showboating, no grandstanding, because so many people, you know, in a church setting, they've heard so many flowery, elegant prayers. They're just like, I don't know how to pray. And I think maybe that's exactly why the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray.
Yeah.
Because if we're supposed to do this, we have no idea, because there's no way what we've heard in the synagogue could we replicate that. That's too out there for us. And so Jesus said, okay, here's how you should pray when you come. Our Father. Right at the beginning, he just goes right into the intimacy. It's not like, oh, almighty and heavenly Father, creator of the universe, which is nothing wrong with that, because that is who he is. But when we pray, when we come to talk with him, it's all of that gets thrown away, and we come into our Father. And I think this is one of the reasons why Jesus says, come in and find a secluded place. King James says, go into your closet, you know, which I was, as a kid, I was like, that's a weird thing to have to do, go into your closet. First of all, there was no room in my closet, but, you know, how you would do that, that would be a very uncomfortable place. But all he was saying is, get away so that you don't have to feel like you've got to put on a show. Just become and be simply there. And so, no showboating, no grandstanding. Number two, nix the noise. And I spell nix, N-I-X. I don't know how you spell it. But nix the noise, breathe deeply, and just be. You know, again, this is our Father. And so, if for those who've not had a great father relationship, and, you know, I know that always messes things up when we talk about father. When I was with Teen Challenge and the boys, you had to be really careful because bringing up relationship with father was a dicey issue with these kids. Most of them, if not all of them, had horrible, if not no relationship at all with their father. And so, but here we come in and we just be. We don't have to put on a show. We don't have to do anything, say anything special. And sometimes we don't even have to say anything. Mm-hmm. You know, for guys who enjoy like fishing or whatever, they can just be together for hours on the river and say nothing. Except every once in a while, like, got one or something like that, or missed one or whatever. But, you know, they could spend hours together enjoying just the activity without saying anything. And I think sometimes the being at ease with the Father in his presence helps us to just go, I don't have to do anything, ask anything, perform anything. I can just be here. And when we talk about praying sometimes, which Jesus is teaching his disciples here, we get all kinds of old ideas, old messages that are sent that get us all messed up. And so nix the noise, breathe deeply, and just be. Mm-hmm. And Jesus welcomes us up in that space. And then he talks about here the way people pray that, you know, they would refer to as prayer warriors and, you know, who really don't know what they're doing in some ways. So number three is ditch the formulas, programs, and techniques. I don't know if you've read how to pray books and how to do this books and how to do that books, but, you know, and we give it a try, but it's so artificial that you just go, this is just not working. It's not who I am. I can't really do it the way this person does, even though they say, if you do this, this happens. But Jesus says, don't use formulas, don't use programs, don't use techniques any more than you would with your best friend. You know, you just don't think about, how am I going to word this? You know, that's kind of weird. Or writing out what you're going to say necessarily isn't the way you normally interact with a friend. And so this prayer thing that Jesus is teaching the disciples is very natural, kind of an organic, we'd say today, easy thing to do. And whatever language we use, you can't mess it up because there's no program set up. There's no script to follow. We're just here enjoying the presence of the Father who loves us and letting him love us. And we have so many examples of prayers in scripture where, you know, people are, the psalmist especially, and some of the prophets are yelling and screaming and like, what were you thinking? And, you know, Job especially, and, you know, on and on. And, you know, we just can't be wrong because we're going to the Father. And if we're wrong and if we're really upset for the wrong reasons and accusing of all kinds of things, you know, how many parents have had children come and accuse them of not loving them and hating them and you're out to destroy my life and you're ruining everything. You know, and parents have to develop a crust so they don't take it all personally, like this is my final answer. You know, it's like, no, it's called teenage angst usually, and they get over it. And eventually, you know, a few years down the road, they may come to see that you are probably the wisest, most loving person they've ever met, and you really had their best interests at heart. So if earthly parents can take the abuse from their kids, until their kids finally get it. How much more can the Heavenly Father take what we have to dish out? You know, when we're, you know, I think it probably makes him laugh if we're really upset and really angry and we come into some very formalized, oh, Father, I praise you for this. You know, it's like, but what about what's in your heart? Do you want to tell me about what's in your heart? You know, it's like, oh, no, I could never do that because that would, you'd be really shocked. You know, it's like, you'd be shocked at how much I already know. And so, you know, we have that invitation. So nixing the noise, breathing deeply, just being, ditching formulas, programs, and techniques. And number four, when he says here, this is your Father you're dealing with. He knows better than you do what you need before you know. So my blank here number four is welcome your Father. Just welcome him. Just, like, you know, we're praying about the situation in Virginia Beach. We're praying for Gregory and Isabel, and we're thinking of other situations as well. And we don't have answers. The Father knows we don't have answers. We don't need to come up with an answer. We just need to take this thing that's so burdening to us because we can't take it. We can't change it. We can't do anything about this on our own. And so we take it and we lay it down before him. And it's like, this is too heavy. You know, and every kid, you know, at some point wants to carry something that's too heavy. You know, and then the parents say, no, no, you can't do that. It's too heavy. No, I can do it. I can do it. You know, and so they try to pick it up and then they drag it. And then they finally realize, oh, this is too heavy. I can't do this. And, you know, parents usually don't criticize. It's like, how stupid could you be? I told you it was too heavy. No, they're like, okay, they understood that now. And so our Heavenly Father knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. And he says, I'm here to handle what you can't. Mm-hmm. And there's so many of these circumstances. Every time there's an event, as the police chief in Newport News, or in Virginia Beach said on Friday, he says, it's police speak for this horrible thing called an event. But every time one of those things happen, you know, we're in the same situation. We don't know what to do. And yet the Father says, I'm here. I can go from, I can take it from here. And it doesn't surprise him. He knows. So we welcome him. And we welcome him in our presence. And we say with that breath prayer, as we breathe in, Lord, I'm here with you. And as we exhale, Lord, you're here with me. It makes all the difference in the world to realize we're not alone in carrying these horrible weights. And then the final thing, number five, hang out with him for a while. This is getting close to lollygagging. Just hang out with the Father for a while. Be at ease in his presence. And not just always. I mean, I know sometimes you fire off a prayer as you race out the door in the morning. And, you know, there are days like that, and the Father knows that, and he's not shocked, and he's okay with that. You know, but he'd be sad if the only time we ever do anything is as we're gulping down coffee, as we roar out the door in the morning, or as we're falling asleep at night, we just kind of give a nod. You know, he's like, gosh, I'd really like more time with you. I'd like more fellowship time. I'd like for you to get to know me and me to get to know you, and for you to be enriched in this time that we spend together. And just, you know, we are production obsessed and success obsessed, and we feel guilty. Some of us in this room feel guilty if you're just sitting back relaxing. And may I just give you permission to sit back and relax and do nothing, kick your feet up, and just enjoy. So hanging out with the Father is wonderful. And so again, let's hear this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. This is so opposite of what's been presented to us. So Jesus says, with a Heavenly Father, with a loving God like this, loving you, you can pray very simply like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Boy, does that fit today or not? Do what's best, as above, so below. keep us alive with three square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and from the devil, because some of us need to be kept safe from ourselves. You're in charge. Even that's wonderful, isn't it? To be able to say, Lord, you're in charge, which means I'm not. You know, we can take off our ruler of the universe hat and set it down and say, I'm not in charge, you are. That's so freeing. And then say, you can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. So I have this impression that in spite of all the things that we've dealt with and all the things we've felt and believed and whatever that have held us back, I think one of the things that would delight the Father's heart, maybe more than anything, is that we would be willing to lollygag with him.
Yeah.
Just waste time with him. Not just because there's an agenda, not just because we want something, not just because someone said I should do this every morning and every night. But, you know, even if you read the email and you go back to that little handout about mining the day's gold and accepting the day's weeds, you know, even at that, you know, and just as we review our day and look for where God was in the events of the day, the evidences of his faithfulness and his goodness and his the joy that he brings. And even in the places where we didn't see him, you know, and then and just give those back to him again. And then finally, just before we fall asleep, just rejoice again with gratitude for his ever presence. And then, you know, and I think that is part of lollygagging, just being willing to hang out without an agenda. And then in that, recognizing how much the Father wants to love us in a very informal, easygoing way. It isn't always high church. You know, our relationship with him is a very private thing, but it's also be lived out publicly, this Jesus life that he's called us to. And so I think the Father would approve of lollygagging. And I don't think that means we get nothing done, but I think we can lollygag with the Father, recognizing that he's with us and he's approving of us in the midst of our busyness and in the midst of our downtime. And just taking time to relax. As we sang this morning, this song, you know, I live so fast, I work so hard. You know, some of that I think the Father wants to call us away. And as I study for my course over and over again, I recognize the value and these 13 weeks that I've been in the middle of and these specific readings and times with the Lord that I'm doing are being so sweet. You know, and sometimes I rush to get to it, but then I just have to, there's no rush here. We do what we can, not what we can't. And it's really a delightful place to be. And I think the Father's waiting for us to come to that place, to relax in him and to give over to him often and frequently the things that we can't handle.
Yes.
So let's pray this morning. Father, we recognize that we're kind of busy spinning and busy calculating and plotting and organizing and fitting things in. And sometimes all you want is for us to sit still and to be still and know that you are God. So, Father, in any way where our relationship with you has seemed complicated or wrapped up in religious trappings that have prevented us from really coming close to your heart, would you help us to see that that's not what you've invited us to, but that it's an easy thing? And it's a fulfilling and it's a rich thing. But we really do get to just waste time being in your presence, enjoying you and knowing that you enjoy us. And for many of us, the fact that you might enjoy us is a little difficult to swallow. But would you teach us that as well, how much you really enjoy us, how your face lights up when we come to you? We want to relax and we want to enjoy this life that you've given us. Truly enjoy it, not just with formal speech, but truly enjoy it. When there's nobody else around, we still really enjoy being with you. So would you strengthen us and encourage us in this day? And we will bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And nothing stole from Gregory, but you.